Let us now read from the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, the verses 6 through 9. Philippians 4. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into His most excellent harmonies. Here ends Scripture. May the Scripture readings of this morning speak to all of us today and reveal to us that God still loves us deeply, with a love that will never, never let us go. Well, brothers, sisters, there is the story about a turkey in discussion with another. And the one said, "I don't know about you, but I only give thanks the day after Thanksgiving." Well, the truth is, it's time for Thanksgiving. And it's also true that many of us are not particularly so good at saying thank you. We leave many thank yous unsaid. We let opportunities go by to simply say thank you. When somebody does something for you, when you appreciate something, get in touch with the world around you and always remember to include thank you. Well, some are like the little kid who returned from a birthday party and his mother wanted to know, "Tommy, did you remember to thank the lady of the house for the party?" "Well, Mom, I was going to, but Susie ahead of me said, thank you, and the lady told her not to mention it, so I didn't." It's incredibly challenging to celebrate Thanksgiving while heartbreaking news regarding Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines and the destructive storms across great parts of our country still fill the airwaves and get mentioned in the news media. And also, on a daily basis, we are bombarded with accounts of destruction, of pain, displacement, yes, also in our area, and poverty. So many of us have discovered that during these days, our most important Thanksgiving activities is to reach out, to hand out, and share something of our daily bread with the impoverished. you ever been hungry, really hungry, no matter what the circumstances? I have. Never forget it. Never. We live in a time of streetwalkers. Many of us who serve in and around the church will tell you how often there is a knock on our office door. How our staff quietly, because you always want to do this with dignity, work together with wonderful people in our church to make a lunch packet as something that we can put into their hands. And I've instructed them, even if you're sure it's just a scam, they're not really hungry, they just want something of you. If that's your suspicion, let God be the judge and give them something anyway. We have homeless brothers and sisters here and everywhere. What am I saying? Compared with many, you and I are rich Christians. And we are living in an age of hunger, in spite of everything. We are still in a position to do something, to give something, to help someone. We are learning incredible lessons about values and priorities, about needs and wants, and about the way much of the rest of the world see us. I know. I lived a great part of my life before I even saw America. And I remember how we looked at you Yankees. I had to come here to actually sense the kindness, the friendship, the goodness, the love that is so ample in America. But remember, the world sees us differently. And I'm so thankful for all the collections that went out of this church, being sent overseas, far away, to places that we've never seen. Because when it's received, they know, they are told, this comes from an American with good heart. In our times, like seldom before, you and I are challenged to follow Jesus Christ in all our deeds, all our acts, in the way that we look at and understand people. Follow Jesus in the example that He gave of what love is really all about, and mercy. Would you, while you're dying, yell out, "Forgive them, Father. They know not what they are doing." Even while many of us, me and you, have to deal with our own suffering, our own pain and our own fears, we are still aware that in comparison to the majority across the world, we are still amongst the privileged. We tend to look at our medicine chest with disdain and self-pity. Poor me. Why me? Why do I have to take all these medicines? They grow and grow. It's almost a handful. What did I do wrong, we say in our ignorance, to deserve all this? Yeah, Many people live as if God owes us something. That's where we go wrong. Thanksgiving stirs in our hearts when we pause in front of our medicine chests and thank God for the privilege of having medicine. Something to help the pain subside, with prospects of being able to endure and to get better. Untold millions live and die without ever having the privilege of modern medicine, and therefore see only one outcome in their pain. They begin to yearn for death. And they see death as the only possible remedy for their throbbing pain. And even during these eventful and often terrible times, we still, you and I, have so much to be thankful for. Do we have any idea of how privileged we really are? And oh, how often do we hear people whining, complaining, and acting as if life itself is mistreating them. I know this gets very personal, but it's my experience that I can never say things like this from the pulpit without facing myself. And I've shed many a tear in the quiet of my study with the prayer, "Oh God, let me never point a finger. Let me remember most of my fingers still point at myself." What do we have to be thankful for today? You know, we received a very special Thanksgiving greeting card. It was designed by a personal friend of ours. And it shows the early pilgrims arriving, and it reads, "They were poor, cold, and hungry, but they gave thanks. Amid abundance beyond their dreams, we, centuries later, still celebrate this day." The Apostle Paul lived a rough and an uneasy life, with many of his fellow Christians continually criticizing everything that he did and say. And I'm not saying that part of all of this wasn't his own fault. You know, when people get angry at us, we always need to ask first, now, is it maybe my fault? Did I maybe go wrong? Where did this relation get sour? We always need to look at ourselves, because we know that God can see in us and through us. The Apostle Paul went through all this. Just read the Bible. Somehow, he never let anything really adversely affect his attitude. You see, the Apostle Paul's attitude was one of continual thanksgiving. It was like his motto for life. It was like a decision that he made that he would always be true to. So he adopted the spirit of always saying thank you. "Rejoice in the Lord always," he says. "Again, I will say rejoice." Paul had an upbeat attitude that nothing could ever destroy. And in the scripture that we read today, he sends a message to the Philippians. Maybe we must go there to discover what his secret really was. How did he deal with the storms and misfortunes of his own life? Well, we know for sure that Paul sincerely believed in personal prayer. The apostle believed in prayer. And that's where I'm heading. His message is not only for the Philippians, but it comes ringing in our ears through the ages, through the centuries, because it's a message still as fresh and new as when it first happened. Paul says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. I know we all came to church this morning with a bunch of worries in our hearts. Some are personal, some have to do with our finances, with our will, with our children, with our grandchildren, or our parents for many of us, or for many of our children. And apostles say, whoa, I know you're worrying. I'll tell you what. Instead of worrying, begin to pray. Let your petitions and your praises of God, let them shape your worries into prayers. Isn't that beautiful? I could just see it. Take your worry, change it into a prayer. Tell God. Inform God as if He doesn't already know. Let God know your concerns. And then comes the promise. And that's what this is really all about. Because the moment when you and I have truly, in faith, turned to God in prayer, no matter what, if the worst still happens, we go there bathed in a sense of the indwelling of God in your life and in mine. Apostle says, everything come together for good and will settle you down. Don't lay awake. We all do. Pray. Tell God about the worries. And very often you'll hear, sleep now, my child. I've carried your burden long before you even existed. Authentic prayer is born out of a deep personal relationship with God, our Creator. Authentic prayer is a dynamic, two-way flow of communication between us and God. It is not a ritual that we go through, neither a cheap means of getting what we want. It is a means by which we continually live in the presence of the divine. It's a means by which we not only make known our personal needs and desires, but we are also opening ourselves up to accept, to learn to cope, to trust, to obey, and understand what is exactly happening in our lives right now. You know, we living on the space coast with rocket flares, long ago the shuttles. We've lived here for so long and we have a first-hand idea how important it is for the astronauts doing spacewalks to remain connected to the space station. It's that connection that gives them safety, provides them with air, and point to a sure way to return home again and again. Are you connected to the spaceship? Am I? Paul understood and lived that kind of prayer and that kind of faith. He was connected to the source of all power, all love, and all hope. Paul focused on the positive in life, and listen again to these memorable words from today's scripture reading. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. They say that country music far too often focuses on the negative instead of the positive. They say that so often country music is all about things that we are losing. Now there is a joke making the rounds. They ask, what do you get when you play a country record backwards? And the answer comes, you get your truck back, you get your dog back, and you get your girlfriend back. Maybe it does something negative to us to listen to songs about losing. We should better sing songs of praise. Maybe you and I need to see more uplifting movies, read more uplifting books, listen to more uplifting music. Oh God, oh God, oh God, make us more positive in this negative world of ours. Why did the Apostle Paul remain positive and thankful to the very end? My friend, for Paul, it started on the road to Damascus when he was still young, when he first surrendered to the loving call from the man from Nazareth. And since then, since he surrendered to Christ, he discovered that he could do all things through Christ who strengthened him. And since that day, Paul's life became one of continual thanksgiving. And when beaten and thrown into prison, he and Silas serenaded the prison warden at midnight. And we read that even in the shadow of his own execution, he advised that still to be thankful in everything. It is Thanksgiving 2013. And as God's own people, we can still sing even through the longest night, even in the midst of uncertain times, during these days of thanksgiving. So let us then also add our voices and our songs of praise. Let us add our gratitude this day as we say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for being a part of my life, for acting and speaking in me. And please, God, speak through me. That is my thanksgiving prayer. So let all God's people now bring thanks. Amen.